to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, so long as we both shall live. Every day, thousands of American couples stand before God, a member of the clergy, their family and friends, and make this ancient promise. The language of this particular vow, the one to have and to hold, as long as we both shall live, has stood the test of time, and in my experience, marrying couples is the one most commonly requested. But sometimes people get more creative. Sometimes people write their own vows. Sometimes they edit the more traditional ones. And occasionally people will ask me to change that last line from, so long as we both shall live, to so long as love shall last, or something more like that. I find this interesting, and it's an interesting twist on the traditional, maybe a statement about our cultural values. Marriage in America these days seems to be all about love, which I must admit makes perfect sense to me, because it's the reason I got married, after all. But my wife and I exchanged the traditional vows with as long as we both shall live intact. It's all about love for us, yes, but we didn't want to enter our marriage thinking either one of us was looking for an out. According to Pew Research, 9 in 10 Americans say that love is the number one reason that they're getting married. It's ahead of companionship, children, financial stability, and all the other reasons that bring people to the decision to tie the knot. Of course, it is entirely possible to be happy and healthy and have a life filled with love as a single person, something that a third of all Americans are choosing to do now, a third. And many people find cohabitation just fine, and they don't seem to need to be married to enjoy a lifelong loving life and relationship. Some people get divorced, some people get remarried, or not. But whatever the case may be, across all these different experiences and lifestyles, I think the fact remains that Americans value love. We even have a cultural holiday devoted to it called Valentine's Day, which is coming up this week. Some of us, maybe many of us, will be celebrating it in some fashion or another. Because we want love. We make choices about how to live our lives and with whom and how based on love. We fought for same-sex marriage for as long as we did until it became the law of the land, because of love. There is no other reason. And love is hard. So I don't know about you, but I'm open to advice. I want to know, what keeps love alive? How do people do it? What are the tools and skills necessary for relationship resilience across a lifetime? How can we survive the worst parts of For Better or Worse to enjoy a lifetime of love, if that in fact, is our desire. So I've been married for 3.5 years. So I find myself at the beginning of what I hope and expect will be a long and happy marriage. At this point in time, I don't find it particularly hard. People used to tell us before we got married that in the beginning it was going to be really hard. And it's been nothing but joy. So that's great. But I know enough to trust that the day will come when things will get really difficult. And there might be a time when marriage seems like it's more work than it's worth. I trust that that will happen someday over the course of my lifetime with my wife. So I'm wondering now, here at the front end of my marriage, how can I build up resilience here in our relationship before we really need it? And I did find some excellent advice recently that I'm going to share with you today in a book called 30 Lessons for Loving, Advice from the Wisest Americans on Love, Relationships, and Marriage by Carl Pilmer. So who are the wisest Americans? Well, Pilmer defines the wisest Americans as the oldest Americans, elders who have real lived experience. So he did his research by interviewing hundreds of the oldest Americans he could find, those who were married for decades, those who were happily married, those who were unhappily married, those who were divorced, widowed, remarried, and so on. He tried to get the widest perspective possible to approach this topic of love and marriage. To answer the question, what builds resilience in relationship? What keeps love alive? So a great deal of this book was devoted to communication, which was not a surprise to me. Folks who reported long, happy marriages described them as a lifelong conversation. In marriage, it turns out you just have to keep talking. You have to say what you mean, say it again, ask for what you need, be kind and compassionate in your speech, and never, ever assume that your partner can read your mind. People can't do that, so you have to use words. Lucky for me, I think lesbians have a leg up on this one. I mean, we can really talk about our feelings and all the stuff, right? Am I right? Yeah. There's a lot of talking going on in my house. So I jumped right ahead of the communication section to one that surprised me a little bit, which was one focused on our everyday actions, things that you can do in your everyday life. In order to keep the spark alive, elders reported that it's all about the small, frequent, positive daily habits we develop. Resilience and love, they said, is about the little things we do each day. One woman who had been married for 55 years, after a very rocky start, said one habit she and her partner developed changed their whole marriage. There is one practical piece of advice I've given my children, she said. This is the one little jewel that I passed on to them. And that's when you wake up in the morning, think, what can I do to make his or her day just a little happier? The idea is you need to turn toward each other and focus on the other person, even just for 5 minutes when you first wake up. It's going to make a big difference in your relationship, she says. Countless other elders report the exact same thing. Think small and positive. Most healthy relationships of all the people Pilmer interviewed included frequent, unexpected, kind gestures. Just because. For example, you could try giving your partner a surprise, small gift. Of course, things like birthdays and anniversaries matter, so don't forget. But according to the experts, relationships really thrive on the little things. Things like bringing your spouse a cup of coffee, making their lunch, surprising them with tickets to a movie you know they want to see, or a show that they want to go to, going for a spontaneous afternoon walk or drive, buying them something small that you know that they want for no reason whatsoever. Small, pleasant surprises like this, whether they're activities or gifts or whatever, are a joy to receive, and they let your partner know that you see them, you understand them, and you know their likes and dislikes. This kind of witness and understanding of who your partner is and what they like builds trust and resilience a little bit at a time. Another thing that stood out to me in the unexpected kind gesture category was doing your spouse's chores for them. And this one I really get. In my house, I'm the one who takes out the trash. But if I come home on trash night and Casey has already taken the trash out, I swear I fall in love all over again. Right? Have you had that experience? So, think about it. What chore does your spouse do that you could occasionally take care of? Could you take out the trash when it's her night to take out the trash? Maybe it's 6 a.m. and the dog needs to go outside. Why not let your spouse sleep and do it yourself? If it is her turn to pick up the kids after school and you know she has a busy day, why not do it for her? Or imagine how great it would feel if you got home and your spouse had already mowed the lawn, done the dishes, vacuumed, whatever other chore is usually yours to do. Doing your spouse's chores can be wildly romantic. And finally, the third unexpected kind gesture which elders report builds resilience in relationships is giving compliments. It's so easy to be in a relationship for a while and just stop noticing the other person for the magnificent human being that they are. And unfortunately, sometimes we take people for granted. So small, frequent compliments are one antidote to this problem. One 90-year-old woman who had enjoyed a long, happy marriage described a daily habit she and her husband had over their lifetime. Every time we were ready to go out of the house, she said, he told me I was lovely, and I told him how handsome he looked. Small daily compliments create a warm, caring atmosphere that centers appreciation, so keep your eyes open. Admire your partner and speak up when you notice something that you love. The small, frequent interactions and positive things that I've just mentioned, of course, can help a great deal, but they are only a small part of marriage. There's so much else that goes into it: the communication piece, the respect, honesty, work-life balance, money matters, sex, children, friendship, teamwork, to name a few. I could go on, and all of that together is really hard. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, so why bother? Why make the outrageously optimistic, crazy promise to have and to hold so long as we both shall live? Why commit to putting someone else's needs before your own and thinking of them first thing every morning instead of yourself? The elders are quick to report that marriage changes the person for the better. A lifetime commitment with another person leads to personal growth and spiritual development and gives us an opportunity to ever become who we are. There was one guy in this book, his name was Clark. He was a priest for 20 years, and then he fell in love with a woman he married. And after 30 years of being married to her, after leaving the priesthood and marrying her, he reported this: marriage had helped him become more fully human. He said, "What I observed over 30-some years of marriage is the growth that comes with it. It's surprising, the depth of it and the breadth of it. When you look back, you've been changed inch by inch, and you've become a different person over the years. I can say to myself, I've become the real person I was meant to be." And if you ask, well, was there some sudden turning point in the marriage? There really wasn't. It was that little day in and day out shaping by the experience of living in love with someone. Think of the way a plant grows, he said. It's just organic. Every day adds on something and copes with something, and something comes that shapes you. This kind of life-changing, growth-orienting, ever-unfolding love is resilient and strong over the long haul when people put in that little piece every day. Just that little piece. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Beloveds, I know I don't have to tell you that love is messy and difficult, that commitment is hard, but the good news is that resilience in relationship is possible before things get too difficult to manage. The experts are clear on this. You can improve your relationship and protect it for the long haul by starting small, starting today, and continuing every day. Over and over and over again. So see if you can approach the days this week that way. See if you can approach every day as a new opportunity to love more and to do more for your person. Start small and stay small across your lifetime. For these minor, frequent, positive actions build resilience and keep relationships strong. Good luck. And let me know if you need support. I am here to help and happy to talk anytime. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be.